Well, good morning. My name is Daniel Jansen. I go by DJ, and I am the pastor of a church called Imago Dei, which is a Latin phrase that means image of God. And we're a church in the city of Downey, 15 minutes or so that way. I'm real good friends with Ryan and Pastor Mark, who's sick this morning, and I'm becoming good friends with Pastor Juno, who's away on vacation. He's live streaming. So just, Juno, you should post on Facebook or something right now, just so I know that you're watching this. All right, okay. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. Being good friends with them, I get to hear a lot about what God is doing in this community. And so to be able to share God's word with you this morning, I need to let you know, it's a privilege. I'm struck often by the weightiness of what it is when we gather together. That as we come with hurts, when we come with expectations and hopes and unfilled longings and desires, and we gather and we bring them together before the Lord, and we open up the Bible to hear God speak to us, it's not a light or trivial thing. And to think of this community and this church that has been in this city for generations and is planning to be here for generations in the future to bring a blessing, to even play this big of a part is just, it's an incredible honor. And so thank you guys for having me this morning. Just a bit about me real quick. Next year will be 10 years that I've been married to my wife. No, my parents did not have to sign a waiver for me to get married. I only look as young as I am. And I have 3 kids. I have a daughter who's 3, a son who's 1, and another daughter who's 6 months. And so I'm here and I'm dressed. And so, like, that's pretty good, right? So anything beyond that is going to be a blessing. I was with you 2 years ago. In fact, Memorial Day weekend 2 years ago, I preached here, and then I preached a handful of times throughout that summer. I had a lot more time on my hands 2 years ago because I was a pastor of a church that did not exist yet. We were planting. We were starting Imago Dei Church, and at that point, all that church was a Tuesday night meeting in my backyard with about 10 people. And 2 years later, I had to leave our congregation this morning to be here. We're gathered. We rent out a chapel from a Korean Presbyterian church, about 100 of us, the kids, and my family's grown. It's just exciting to see all that God has done in rooting us in Southeast LA and caring for the cities here. And it's been exciting to see people come to know Jesus and to be a part of the story that we see in the Bible. That's what you and I are a part of. It's not just back then and we just look at it like it's a history book. We're living it right now. And I share that little update about my life and about our church for 2 reasons. One, if you don't know, I'm very thankful to New Life Church. You guys have partnered with us in some real ways. Just very practically speaking, there's been financial partnership that you guys have given to help get us off the ground, and it's very much appreciated. When Paul talks in the book of Philippians about partnership, again, we're living that right now, so it's an honor just to share a little update about how we're doing and what's going on. But the second reason I share about the church is because our passage today in Ephesians is about the church. In fact, not just this passage, this might surprise you, but the letter of Ephesians that we're teaching through is largely about the church. You see, all this becoming who you are, all that Paul is writing and talking about, he gives all these promises, right, that you have maybe learned already, our new identity that we have. Well, part of your new identity in Jesus is that you are part of a new community. Part of your new identity is that you are part of a new community. And he goes and he writes all these precious blessings that we have because of what Jesus has done. In Ephesians 1, it says that because of Jesus, you are adopted. God is your father. That because of Jesus, you are forgiven of your sins, that his grace is lavished upon you. Because of Jesus, by grace, you have been brought from death to life. because of Jesus, you are filled with his Holy Spirit. And all of this is just a lead up so he can talk about the church. My question for us as we dive into our passage this morning is this then. What makes the church so special in Paul's eyes? Why does the church matter? And if this is part of my identity, right, becoming who you are, I have a new identity in Jesus, if being a part of a new community, if that's part of my identity, right, then why does my life matter? What is our purpose in God's plan? And to help us unravel those questions, to help us get at the heart of that, I'm going to have us do a little thought exercise. Is that okay? We do a little thought exercise to really get at our purpose in God's plan. But I have to warn you, it's going to make you think. And I know for some of you, it's a multi-generational church. For some of you, you're just waking up. For some of you, you're planning dinner, right? So in that, right, we're going to stretch our minds a little bit. Are we okay? All right. Have you ever contemplated eternity? If you haven't, let's do it right now. All right, so we think about today, okay, and we know tomorrow's coming. And then there's next week and next year and on and on and on and on forever, right? That time just continues. Eternity. And also, there's eternity, this is the trippy part, the eternity backwards, right? Where you start thinking, oh my gosh, there was generations before me and before me and before me, before me, forever. Eternity. Or how about infinity? You ever thought about infinity? Maybe when I was a kid, I'd get in an argument with my friends and I would say things like, my dad is the strongest. And my neighbor would be like, no, my dad's the strongest. And I'd say, no, my dad's the strongest times infinity. And then my neighbor would be like, no, my dad's the strongest times infinity plus one. Oh, I lose, you know? It's just infinity. It's this immeasurable quantity, right? And this is a mathematical reality. You can always add one more. No matter how high you go, you can always add one more. This blew my mind. I was thinking about it. Not only is there infinity, but within every number, I told you, we're going to stretch our minds a little bit here, that there is... 7th grade math, you learn how circles, you learn pi, P-I, little symbol. Maybe, okay, it's 3.14 is what they teach you. Doesn't really matter, but it's actually, it goes on and on and on. The real number is 3.14159265, and it goes on forever. And what I learned in 7th grade is that within infinity, there are an infinite number of infinities. Right? Just like, right? My mind is blown when I think about this. Or lastly, how about spatial infinity? What I mean by that is this. We are here in the city of Artesia in Southern California on planet Earth, right? In our solar system, in the Milky Way galaxy. And you can just keep going on and on and on and on, and you will never hit a wall where it's like, turn around, right? Go back. Space is infinite, even expanding. Now, this is incredible to consider, right? To think about eternity and infinity and the infinite space. Listen to what the scripture said. This is Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And what this teaches us, this psalm, is that God has created the world in such a way that it displays and declares his glory. So you and I, we look out at the world and we say, wow, isn't God incredible? Isn't he glorious? As we watch our solar system and our world. But as we consider eternity and infinity and space, what this means, trip out on this with me, is that God has created the world in such a way that it literally cannot contain his glory. It literally cannot contain his glory because God's glory, his beauty, his worth, his praises are infinite. There's never a point of arrival when we say, okay, well, we praised him enough. Oh, yeah, that's enough glory for God. He's infinite. This is our God. Now consider ourselves. This one little place with this one life that we live in the midst of an infinite and eternal reality. I think it's actually arrogance to just assume, therefore, that our lives would have meaning and purpose. Just like assume it, because we are fractions of infinity. And when we put our lives on the scale of the infinite and the eternal, we see that so much of what we call beautiful and valuable, it crumbles and it disintegrates. It's nothing. Who are we? What purpose could we have in this place? It's both a beautiful and terrifying thought to consider. Okay, now, let's open up Ephesians. If you have a Bible, we're going to turn to Ephesians, which is what we're doing. I want us to hold this thought experiment in our minds as we read through Ephesians. And before we get to our passage, which is in Ephesians 3, I want us to look at chapter 1 and return to some of the things that we've already learned. Because in Ephesians is the gospel. Gospel means good news. And we're standing here with, again, like I said, arrogant to assume that our lives have meaning and purpose. We are specks of dust in an infinite thing. It's like, what is this even about? And Ephesians comes and gives us good news. Look at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. It says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So right off the bat, rather than the nothingness that this existential reality presses down on us and we're terrified, rather than nothingness, Ephesians promises that you and I have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse four, he chose us in him when? Before the creation of the world. To be holy and blameless in his sight. Before, in eternity past, God has destined a life of beauty and meaning and value. Verse five, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance to his pleasure and will. God's purpose throughout all eternity is that Jesus would be Savior and that we would be united with him and have his blessings. If you look, verse 19, still in chapter 1, and his incomparably, the ESV says, his immeasurable greatness of power is for us who believe. This infinite God with incomparable power, immeasurable greatness, is at work for us who believe. This is scandalous. This is incredible to consider. And so some of us are probably reading this and we're thinking, oh, okay, Paul. I hear that, but what about me, right? I'm not gifted. I'm a sinner. I'm different. Do I really belong in these? I mean, these promises are weighty. Do I belong in these? And that's where we get our passage today. If you look over to chapter 3, Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Gentiles means foreigner, outsider, unclean. He's saying, I am for the sake of the foreigner, the outsider, the unclean, the person who's hearing these promises and these wonderful things about God and how he brings life, right? We're not swallowed up by the infinite, but we have meaning and value. And he's saying, I am here to let you know that this is for you. Verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. And for us, we're like, okay, so they've heard about this mystery. We're over here like, what are you talking about, Paul? What is this mystery thing that's going on? Well, he clears it up. Verse 4, he says, in reading this, so what we're about to read, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. It's been unclear what God has been doing in the past, but now through Jesus, it's revealed. What is it that's been revealed, Paul? Here it is, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, meaning the outsider, the foreigner, the unclean, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And so what Paul is saying is this, is that the gospel, the good news, is that if anyone, let me repeat that, because you're like, does this include me? Yes, if anyone believes in Jesus, they have access to this inheritance, to this new identity. It's for us who believe. And no one saw this coming in all of human history, because throughout human history, everything has been, there's been boundary lines of who's in and who's out and who belongs, boundaries along culture and race and class, right? But God's grace is not bound by race or culture. It is an open gift to the world because it rests in his power, not in your power. And so what does all of this mean? Is this. And we're doing a lot of reading, a lot of work here. Here's what it means. Is that your life is not swallowed up by the infinite. Instead, your life now has eternal significance. He takes this, what am I, one life on a speck in the midst of an infinite thing, meaningless. And the gospel flips that on its head and says, no, actually, your one life has incredible value and purpose and meaning, because you are tied up in God's purposes, that God has a plan for you and for us. And what is that plan? That's verse 10. This is where we really want to spend some time here. Let's skip down to verse 10. It says this, that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So God's plan, his intent, was that through the church, we're part of the church, that through the church, he is displaying, he's putting out there his wisdom, his glory to the heavenly realms, which means the angels and the demons and even the stars. That the angels and the demons and the heavenly beings, they're looking in at the church and they're saying, wow, isn't God wise? Isn't he glorious? What I want to do for us, I know we to really pull this all together, I want to trace a line, if I could, from Psalm 19 to Ephesians 3. Here's what Psalm 19 said. It said that all creation screams God's glory, right? We look out at creation and say, wow, isn't God glorious? And what Ephesians 3 tells us is that all creation looks back in at the church and says, wow, isn't God glorious? That it's here, in all the infinite universe, in all eternity, in all time, in Artesia, that God is showing off. Because it's through us, as he brings people from death to life, orphans to sons, foreigners to friends, as we live out the new identity in Jesus, we are a new creation, and God is showing off his new creation to the heavenlies. And what that means is that the most beautiful thing in all creation is new creation. The most beautiful thing in all creation is new creation. As God takes things that were broken, things that were finite, things that were sinful and rebellious even, and he makes them beautiful. And when the angels see this, they rejoice. And when the demons see this, they tremble. And they both say, wow, God is wise. He is good. He is glorious. And this, verse 11, is all according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this new life is our mission. This is our purpose. This is what our life is about, to give God glory. Because it's through us, he's putting us on display to the world to show off his infinite goodness. That I and you, together, we are part of God's eternal purposes. We have meaning and value wrapped up in the eternal and infinite work of Jesus. The calling for your life, the calling for my life, our lives together, the call is to put new creation on display. To tell of God's power and goodness in bringing us from death to life, to fill the earth with markers and moments and displays of this new creation. That's what your life is about. Your life is a display of God's power. Even in your weakness, it shows his power. And the rest of Ephesians will go on and tell us how to practically live that out. It's going to say, here's what it means to walk worthy of this calling. But for today, I want us to, with what we've already read in Ephesians, I want to give us three things that this is, okay, how do we, that's all well and good, DJ, but like, how do I actually put new creation on display? Right? That's the meaning of my life. If God's showing off through us, that's a lot of pressure, right? What does that look like for my life? What does that mean? Now, I'll give us three things. The first way is this, is we put new creation on display when we work to bring about reconciliation. This is what Ephesians is largely about. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. We read that in chapter 2. He says the wall of hostility, racial boundary markers, culture boundary markers is broken down and we are a new man in Christ because we share the same promises, we share the same purpose. And so what binds us together, you and I, and the people you're sitting next to, what binds us together is this work of Jesus. Straight culturally, there might be no reason for us to be friends, to even acknowledge one another. And yet because of Jesus, we are a family. That's what J.D. Greer says. He says, a group of 25,000 white people gathering to listen to great music and an entertaining speaker is not really a demonstration of the power of God. That's a Justin Bieber concert, right? By contrast, a group of people who come together around Christ when they have little else in common declares that God has the power to save. And so, church, the unity of this body is incredibly important. Not just so we all don't get along and it's better when we don't fight, of course, right? But because God is displaying his glory by bringing natural enemies as friends. Because I'm forgiven and you're forgiven and I'm adopted and you're adopted. And if God's my father and God's your father, what does that make us, brothers and sisters? When we display that to the world looks and they say, what's up with this, you know, crazy, diverse, multi-generational, what is this thing? That doesn't exist elsewhere out in the world. We're young and old, black and white, poor and rich, right? Serve each other. What is this power that's at work here? It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of Jesus that creates that. The church puts on display a people who model what it means to live under the rule of Jesus. This is Tim Chester. We are a glorious outpost of the kingdom of God. That right here, right now, there's a new creation at work, a taste of heaven here on earth. And we put that on display for people to see and experience. This is what it means to truly be human. And we're showing that off. So it means that we pursue reconciliation. If there's someone who we're distant from, if there's been a fight, if their culture tells us we should not be friends with this sort of person, we work to cross those borders. The second thing that it means, if this is our purpose, to put God's glory on display, if together this is our call, the second thing it means is this, is that we celebrate, hope for, and know the power of new creation. That we celebrate, we hope for the power of new creation. What that means is this. We don't look at death. We don't look at chaos. We don't look at sin or messy situations and be like, that's the end. No. We know, we are a people who know what God can do, right? We know how he can bring death to life, how he can take sin and forgive it. And so when we encounter that in other people, in other places, we don't run from it. We run towards it because we expect God to move in power in those places, right? We know that God delights to make things new, that he's showing off in his new creation. And so we pursue and expect new creation to happen. So when we come into contact with messy situations or messy people, and maybe you're even coming here today and you're like, you're in the middle of an ugly, broken, even sinful situation, or you've got a brother or a sister or a coworker who's just a terrible person, and you're like, how does this, what do I do here? Oh my God. No, we trust that God can move in power. We're expectant and hopeful. Because it doesn't rest in my power or their power. It's God's infinite power at work to save and bring about new creation. And we know that he delights to show new creation off. So we're like, okay, God, like I'm expectant. I'm not asking if, I'm asking when. I'm saying, how is this going to work out? I want to see your power. Because our natural tendency, and let's be honest, right? Our natural tendency is to despair. I was doing youth ministry for a while in the city of Bell, which is in southeast LA. I had this student who was part of our youth group, and he was really broken home. It was just he, his mom, his grandma, and they bounced from motel to motel, and drugs, and not keeping jobs. He wouldn't go to school, bad hygiene. I mean, it was just like this really, really messy situation, and he came to church, but he didn't really participate. He just wanted, like, to hang out. And I remember just praying for this kid, and I was just listing all these messy things before God. And after everything, my spirit just got, like, lower and lower and lower. And I was like, ah. And I remember just, I said out to God about this kid. I said, God, he's impossible. And it was as if God pressed the truth of scriptures into my heart in that moment, and he said, and DJ, you weren't? There was something about you that was easy to save? I look at Ephesians, and it says that we've been brought from death to life. And that God's purpose is to put his glory on display. I don't look at people and say, impossible. There's a guy in our church whose dad beat him, abused him physically and sexually. Messy, messy situation. God saved my friend. And then a couple of years ago, in God's grace, he started working in this dad's life. You could see his lights coming on. He's starting to be interested in spiritual things and in what God could do. But my friend was like, no, God, you don't want him. He's scum. You don't know the things. He is scum. And as if God spoke to him in that moment, he says, God said, I want the scum. I want the sinner. I want the dirty. I want those who are far from me. I want that's what God is in the business of doing. Jesus himself said, I came not to heal, not for the healthy, but for the sick. Not for the righteous, but the unrighteous, right? That's God's heart because he's working out new creation. And so we, church, we pursue that. We don't run from it. We don't create a little holy huddle where everything is bright and beautiful. No, we run into the darkness. We go to the nations. We sacrifice and lay our lives down as Jesus did because we are all about seeing new creation happen. Death and chaos and sin, they will not have the final word. And I want to say to you, if you are here today and you have a messy story, if you are a sinner, we welcome you with open arms. I'm not the pastor here, but I'm speaking for the church. And if that's not you, then we need to get right on that. We welcome you with open arms because we believe that God has power to bring about something truly beautiful and new in your life. And if you come here today and you're just completely broken, I want you to know that I have faith that God can bring about something truly beautiful in your life. And this is not the end. That's what we're all about. We celebrate and we hope for it. We put it on display. So if God is showing off through all eternity through us, we pursue reconciliation. We hope for and expect to see new creation. And the last thing is confidence. We live confident, faithful lives. You see, God's eternal plan was to show off his glory by saving us through Jesus. And so this means confidence. Let's look at these last three verses and then we'll be done. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, this has all been according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in him, that's in Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you. They are for your glory. Confidence, freedom. Even in suffering, Paul is saying, my goal in my life is not my comfort. It's that you would join in displaying God's beauty. That's our purpose in the world. And so often, I think, you and I, we're timid when it comes to God because of sin, because of things we've done in the past, because we know we're not perfect. We come to church and we sing songs about all God's goodness, and we're just, there's this kind of, it's great to consider, but then as we turn the eye in on ourselves, we're like, yeah, not the greatest week this week. And we kind of see ourselves, thank you, God, for your grace, meaning like, thanks that I'm invited to the party, but we kind of are like a middle school dance where we hang along on the sidelines. The fun is for other people. But what the scripture is teaching is that as we understand that God's eternal purpose is that you would be made new. God's eternal purpose is that he would show off, but even in your weakness, he is showing off his strength. Then it means that we have confidence that even if we've had a terrible week, even if we are a wretched sinner, even if that's who we are, God's going to get glory through my life because that's his eternal plan, right? And so I have confidence. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to have a big platform. I don't need to show up and have had a perfect week because it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on Jesus. And God's wisdom is on display when we approach him in confidence. We are forgiven. His immeasurable, infinite power is at work in us. And Jesus is seated high above every authority in the world. That's what Ephesians 1 teaches us. And so we are called to grab hold of this identity and walk in it. And when we move and act with confidence and faith, God's glory is seen. Because we show off what he has accomplished through Jesus. When people like me, who have no business being confident before God, right? You could see in my heart, you know, the things that I've thought, the things that I've done. If you could see my giftings and my limitations, you'd be like, DJ, you have no right being confident before God. But the scripture calls me to be confident before God, not because of my greatness, but because of Jesus's greatness. And when I come before God confidently and free, not based in myself, but based in Jesus, he gets the glory, not me. And the heavens look in, the angels and the demons, and they say, God's incredible. That a guy like DJ could walk and be confident and be called a son and live out this new identity and pursue reconciliation and be a part of this. I can't believe it. God is amazing. And I'm like, yes, God is amazing. Thank you for this life. That rather being swallowed up by infinity, I've been given a life of meaning and value. Every breath in my lungs is given to me to declare the goodness and glory of Jesus. That's what my life is about. And that's your life too. And that's our life woven together, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed. Through the broken church, the church that makes mistakes, through the church that's not always perfect, that God loves perfectly, God is showing off his wisdom. He is being glorified. It's his strength. It's his wisdom. It's our joy to participate in that. And I want to call you to walk confidently, to pursue reconciliation, and to expect that new creation power will be at work in your life and through this church. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Without him, I am nothing. Literally, I am a speck of dust in an infinite world. And you flip it from meaninglessness to eternal significance. From no confidence to confidence, because you bring from death to life. Oh God, you are wise and good and strong. And I pray over New Life Church, I pray that new creation would be on display in Artesia and to the ends of the earth. That when the world looks in at New Life Church and they see diversity and they see multi-generations, when they see sinners, unrighteous people coming and worshiping God confidently, they're just like, what the heck is this? And that you get all the glory. I pray against the lies of our enemy who would have us doubt the identity that you've given us, who would want us to live timidly, who would want us to hold grudges, who would want us to run away from messy things and pursue our own comfort. Give us a spirit of courage and confidence to live out the life that you've called us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.